two, three. Hit it.
4, 5, 6.
7, 8, 9, 10. We're back.
We're back at it.
Back in the New York groove.
I don't know that song.
Ace Frehley.
Don't know that singer.
He was the guitarist for Kiss.
And he put don't out know a, that band.
You don't know Kiss? You never heard of Kiss? Oh, there's this guy, Gene Simmons. He's so cool. You got to learn about him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, we weren't sure if we were going to get on the mic and do this, but you said you had a story for me. So, at the very least, let's get your story. Welcome, everybody.
Hello. Thank you for being with us.
All of you. we crossed the 50 mark on our first episode.
Get out. Yeah. 50 listens?
50 listens, yeah.
On Fearful Avoidant?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's what the people want. Yeah. The real raw truth.
The dirt. Yeah, uh-huh. Especially because of the other one that has a lot of listens is the one that I cynically titled a gigantic heartbreaking
fight. Yeah. I was just disappointed.
It worked.
Ugh.
Well,
not what I was hoping.
Keep
for.
Doing that. Yeah. Fool me once. Fuck you, old chestnuts.
So last week I took a little nap and I woke up to 10 emails in my inbox throughout the day. Okay. All PayPal related.
PayPal related.
Yeah. Okay. And so there's like 7 or 8 that are like confirming like subscription cancellation kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then 1 confirming straight up account deactivation and 1 confirming a payment of a whole bunch of Polish, was it kroners? No. Whatever the currency is in Polish, mm-hmm. in Poland.
Okay.
Whole bunch of Polish money sent somewhere. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? So the sneaky motherfuckers, the fact that they, what?
Nothing.
Okay. That they completely shut down my PayPal account after making this like fraudulent payment meant that you can't go to their like the fraud page or whatever.
Okay.
So you sign in and follow the link, but my account no longer existed. So then I had to phone, and then it's of course all these prompts like press 1 for this, press 2 for this. So then I press whatever number for fraud, and it's like, well, sign into your account and go to this, and I'm like, oh my god, like this can't be.
I can stop you for 1 second. Yeah. I'm noticing a problem with us sitting beside each other.
What?
Is that you turn like this away from the microphone to look at me to talk. So if you're going to turn and look at me, you have to also bring the microphone with you. Yeah.
Do you want to start over?
No. It's fine. It'll just...
So, and I don't have to hold this, which is good.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyhow, it actually ended up being an absolutely breezy process. And before I even phoned PayPal, I logged into my bank and saw that the payment on my Visa was already, like, taken care of.
Okay, yeah.
And then, so I signed in and talked to somebody. Didn't have to wait too long. Like, because of, I guess, like, the nature of the issue, they're, like, on it. And I was just overall very impressed. And he's like, because your account was canceled, he's like, I'm not going to open it again. If you want to use PayPal in the future, start fresh. So,
people be scamming.
Yeah, but that's like the second time I've been scammed.
Yeah.
Remember when somebody opened up a Shaw account under my name?
Yeah.
And I got like $1,000 Shaw bill and like it was going to go to creditors. I'm like, what the heck? And then Shaw said that they needed proof because it happened because my purse was stolen and then. So they had my license, so they took that and used it to open up the Shaw account. And then, Shaw was like, well, did you file a police report? I said, yeah, I did, because my car was stolen as well. And they said, well, we need a copy of that to prove that this, like, matches with the timeline. I was like, oh my gosh. So I had to go through all that. But the funny thing is I never submitted it to Shaw. They called again and I said, yeah, I'm just waiting for it to come through. And then that seemed to be enough where, like, I guess they believed I wasn't bullshitting.
Yeah.
And then it just disappeared. Bunch of baloney, though.
Yeah, I've had a few like attempted things, but it always seems to get caught. Like through my bank, they like noticed a couple like suspicious purchases, and they were on it pretty quick. Like there was like a couple like Amazon purchases that were done from like somewhere in Texas and stuff, and they like called me like right away, and I remember they like put a hole, because I remember I went to go use my card and it wasn't working, and then there was a message from the bank saying that they had put a hold on it because of suspicious activity, right. Which is inconvenient, because then I remember like it was the weekend, so I couldn't go get a new card or like get it reactivated.
Because yours is a Visa debit.
I guess
is that
so.
The problem?
I don't know. I guess just because the banks weren't open.
No, but I mean, like, if it was a credit card,
oh, you and could that still they were use, able like, to use your it debit for, card. Yeah, yeah. Like, you can use my debit card for like online payment. Right. Yeah, so I was at, I think I like had gotten a bunch of groceries at Safeway, and I went to use it, and it like wasn't working. And I was like, oh no! Right. And then I was like, yeah, it was like after bank hours on a Saturday, like so there was nothing.
I remember that.
But yeah.
Should we do a little clinky clank?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we were gonna do cheers. We're breaking out the crystal glasses for the first time, in like a kind of. Let's try one more time. Still
it's
not that
be
great.
Better. Yeah. Let's try one more time. Really disappointing.
How's your Coca-Cola Classic?
Jeez Louise.
Going no cubes in there?
Well, just, you know, I thought I would drink it real quick.
Okay.
It's syrup. How do people drink this all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I used to, but...
Like, I think that I have pop maybe twice a year. Maybe.
So a little bit of backstory here. I just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, got a craving for a rum and Coke, which... I never drink. I used to in my early 20s. That was like a go-to if I was going to have like hard liquor. It was going to be a rum and Coke a lot of the time. But like, I just don't drink pop these days for the, you know, almost never. Every, you know, like maybe once a year or like when I would go, if we would go to a movie or something, I would maybe get a Sprite or something. But for some reason out of nowhere, I just like wanted a rum and Coke, but with like tons of lime. And like tons of ice cubes and just like a small amount of Coke. And it's delicious, but I'm over it now. Like this is now the third one I've had just because I bought this bottle of Coke and I'm.
And it was so much more expensive to buy a one little 500 ml.
Mm-hmm. But like I didn't want to saddle us with a 2 liter Coke.
Yeah, it's something else. I don't understand that being a beverage of choice.
It's tasty. It's just. I mean, this rum and Coke is tasty, like,
yeah.
But it just immediately just feels so gross on my teeth. I remember that when I would like, you know, make a night of drinking rum and Coke, and it's like, whew, the heartburn and the teeth grit.
I prefer Pepsi over Coke.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just grew up in a Pepsi house, though, so I think that was kind of it. I think that's often what it comes down to. It's just like whatever your.
I feel like we didn't have parents bought that. I'm curious. I think maybe it was Pepsi. I don't know. But my sister prefers Coke.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind a Coke.
I'm not sure about my mom.
I like a Coke. Both of them have to just be like cold, 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 cold. Your daughter's rubbing off on us.
You are rubbing off on her because I think that you're the one that started.
I think so, yeah.
You are, yeah.
Yeah, it's something Luella says a lot. Especially at bedtime, she wants water that's cold, cold. Cold, cold, cold.
And she has to count to five on her hand.
Count it out. And like, yeah, look at her fingers as she counts it out.
Yeah.
Do you think you have it in you to do the love language conversation, or is that too big for tonight?
Yes, but do you have your phone so I can bring look them up?
Yeah. Okay, so the other day, I think it was related to a podcast you were listening to.
Yeah.
That you asked me what my love language was, and I believe I replied, what did I say? Like getting my bone worked or something like that.
Something like that.
And then yours was...
Getting stuffed.
Getting stuffed. So then I had to like, I'm like, hang on, let me Google like what the real ones are. Because I was like, you know, semi-familiar with the concept, but oh man, just the amount of books that there is on the love languages. Okay.
I hadn't heard that term until like maybe a year or two ago. And someone used it and they're like, oh, that's her love language. I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. Okay. What are the 5 love languages? Everything you need to know. It's got a graph or something here. The love language spreadsheet. Okay. So, yeah. Ooh, do you want to look at them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, we have words of affirmation, physical touch, receiving gifts, quality time, and acts of service.
Mm-hmm. So, then I think I said, like, well, I wouldn't say that I have one in particular, but I could probably kind of rank those. I think I gave you a ranking, which...
Words of affirmation was your first one.
Words of affirmation followed by physical touch. And I said that those could probably, depending on the day, like, flip. Uh-huh. I think my instinct was, like, right off the bat, that words of affirmation are really, like, would really be it. But that the more I think about it, that physical touch, like, is probably up there too, you know?
Yeah. Interesting.
And lowest for me would definitely be, what is it? Something about gifts?
Receiving gifts.
Receiving gifts, yeah. I mean, you know, like, all those things are nice. But as far as, like, them being a love language, you know, like, that I, like, internalize those things as like, love, or like that they are a way for me to express love, or, you know, kind of going both ways. Yeah, it's a gifts are pretty low on that ranking.
I think I should take this love language quiz.
Oh, yeah?
But not right now. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure.
I think it's one of those things, like, I mean, there's a lot of this kind of stuff that it can be like an illuminating way if you consider it, and you can kind of, you know, sort of apply that personal insight to an understanding of your feelings and, like, perhaps, like, directing future behavior. But then I think the problem is that some people get too, like, dogmatic about these kind of things, where they're like, this is unlocking, like, all the answers I needed, and I'm going to live by it, and this is going to solve all my problems. And, like, so I think it's, yeah, people who take this kind of stuff too seriously is, like, dangerous.
Uh-huh. I think I would, excuse me, need to take maybe a closer look at this. Should we pause for a quick second?
Sure.
Okay, so I think the two for me would be acts of service and receiving gifts. And then going down from that would be words of affirmation. And then physical touch. And then quality time is the last one. And it's funny, like, it feels like funny to say receiving gifts. Like, that sounds like it makes me feel like it's like a selfish thing. But just reading on here, some of the things that, you know, like, the present itself is nice, but it's the thought behind it that counts. The gift becomes an object that helps you remember they were thinking of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's more what it is. It's like, oh, you know, this person was thinking, like, oh, I thought that you might like this, or, you know, so that.
So I got to step up my gift game.
No, not necessarily. You do nice things. Like, here, the gesture of receiving a gift demonstrates that you are seen, cared for, and prized. You really thrive on the thoughtfulness behind the gesture and treasure nostalgic items. So that makes me not feel so much like it's a selfish thing.
Yeah. No, I don't think any of them. I mean, they all are and aren't selfish in their own way. I mean, like, they're selfish in, like, kind of the way that, you know, being selfish can be a good thing, and that you're sort of thinking about yourself and what your needs are.
Yeah.
But it is funny that, like, we're kind of flipped, you know, and maybe, like I was saying, in that way, it can be illuminating, and it is something to think about and maybe consider. And I think it doesn't necessarily have to just apply to, like, a romantic relationship, you know, like, I was definitely thinking as the physical touch thing, like, because at first I thought, I'm like, oh, like, similar to the gift thing, I think, like, the instinct is to think about it is, like, that being, like, the sexual one or whatever, like, where it's like, oh, I want, you know, like, I feel like love by being, like, touched in, like, a intimate way or whatever, like that. But I think just like a hand on the shoulder or like, you know, just like physical contact.
Yeah.
Can express so much. And it's something I think about. And I even like mentioned this to her after. I remember when I did the live take a seat and I was just like a ball of nerves leading up to it. And I was sitting at a table like prior to it. And Sarah Leeson Klim was there, and she just like, I think could tell I was just like nervous, like wasn't really talking. And she just like gave me a shoulder rub. Yeah. And it was like just all of a sudden it was like it broke a spell or something like that. Like like that little bit of like breaking like physical contact, you know, just like made me feel like better, you know. It made me feel supported. Seen and supported, yeah. You know.
Didn't get that from your girlfriend at the time.
No. You were great and actually very helpful through all that too.
It's interesting though, because I did not grow up in a house with much physical touch.
And even the words of affirmation thing, like I think I'm much more like free with my I love yous and like that kind of stuff, you know, and like the you look good and that kind of, you know, like I think I drop way more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And, like, it's not like easy. It's not what I grew up with. So that's maybe, and that's also maybe why I'm more drawn to the ones I am, like the acts of service and the gifts, because it's not, it's like a more of like a behind the scenes kind of like, I see you, I'm supporting you, instead of,
right.
You know what I mean?
Maybe those are more challenging for me. Well, it's good. There we go. We're getting to the bottom of this stuff on here, old chestnuts for you.
Yeah, here we go again.
This is one of those 50 listener episodes. And here we thought we weren't even going to record one tonight. You're going to get a blow up here.
Just a revelation.
No. Yeah, epiphanies left and right. Except we're tapped out now.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, well.
Well, we got this far.
Those are the two things, actually, that I was thinking of.
The love languages in this?
For the... No, just I mean, like to tell that little story, PayPal story and then talk about love languages.
As far as the physical, what do they call it?
Physical touch?
On my, like, so, because I guess like the love language thing is both like receiving, but also like how you express it too. Uh-huh. That is why I would maybe rank it lower, is because I always feel like I'm not somebody, like there's people who are like, who will always like lead with a hug and like that kind of stuff. I'm always just too self-conscious about that kind of thing. I think some of that just comes down to being being male, but like being like a tall guy. I always feel a little like, I feel slightly self-conscious about like being intimidating or like something like that, you know? So like I'm, other than like with my, you know, sort of like closest friends, I'm not going to be the one like initiating the hug or like the physical contact most of the time.
Right.
But always, it's almost always welcome, you know, like from anybody, like I'm never somebody who's like cringing or like cowering away from like somebody who does go in for the hug. Like I always enjoy it and like a, you know, a big hugger or like a, you know, somebody who's physical. But yeah, I'm not the one who's like, who's leading with that.
Same.
Because I know some people do hate it too, and that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't want
to be like hate getting hugged.
Hey, yeah, or just hate physical touch, having their space invaded. I don't like a stranger invading my space. Especially, I mean, these days that all feels a little more awkward too. But with, you know, friends and acquaintances and stuff, like I'm pretty open to that.
I concur. How's your drink?
It's good. You whipped me up a real nice rum and coke. Thanks.
There's a juicy lime.
it's sitting in my throat. I gotta keep pulling the microphone away to avoid
do you want some water?
Rum gurgles.
Title.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not gonna get the listeners. I feel like the gross ones always have the lowest listenership. Yeah,
belly full of toes.
Yeah, so I think we'll stick away from rum gurgles.
Just go with gurgles.
We're gonna get three listeners.
Love languages and identity theft.
I'm trying to think if I had anything. I mean, the only thing I thought of, but again, it's like maybe like last week, it might just be too much to tackle. It's just kind of going through some of the beats of how our summer played out while we were away from this. But
I think that I would like to do that, but I think I would like to know that that's on the plate, you know, mm-hmm. coming up, and then dedicate some time to it and, you know, not have it just be like tacked on when we're you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to do it justice, I guess. Who do you think the first, like, what's the first concert that you want to go to?
First concert that I want to go to?
Yeah.
Like, do you see live music again?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I feel like even pre-COVID, it had been such a long time since I'd been to see any live music. So I would pretty much be open to any bands I like, you know, if they were to come through. And I was feeling comfortable with, like, being in a social setting. I would just be very excited to.
I know. Sorry.
To go to a live show again. It's very wild. Like, I think, yeah, I was thinking recently about how through my 20s and I guess late teens too, maybe a little bit of my early 30s, I had the opportunity to see so many bands and artists that, like, are sort of like legends, you know? And I just kind of, like, I'm like, I don't know whether I will ever have, like, a stretch in my life again where I'm, like, going to see shows on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of the tickets. So that was one thing. Like, I was looking through, you know, ticket stubs from a lot of the shows I've been to. And, yeah, it's just cool. Cool memories. Like, I remember going to see Tom Petty. And, like, I've seen Radiohead 3 times. That's crazy. All of those were great shows. I don't know. How about you? Anybody in particular you've thought of that you'd really like to see?
2.
Okay.
I'd like to see War on Drugs.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to see Vampire Weekend with Lou.
Yeah.
Because she loves them. I think it'd be so fun. And, you know, to be honest, I'm looking forward to music festivals again.
Yeah.
Even if they're just little, like Rainbow Trout, you know? Just being outside, weather, yeah, like, pals, music.
Assuming Rainbow Trout does, like, happen again, I wonder what the vibe is going to be like.
Yeah.
I think if it had just been 1 year off, it still would have been, like, a different vibe, but I think it would have been kind of like a celebratory, like, damn, like, you know, it sucks that we missed a year, but now it's, like, I don't know, 2 years away. Like, if it comes back next year, like, I feel like that's a lot. Like, that's a good chunk of time.
Do you think it might not?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not, like, involved in the inner workings of that. So
you're not? Like, just checking. I wonder, like, would, you know, I guess that's how things just lose steam and then they peter out, like a restaurant that doesn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
All my small town coffee shops that I hit up on the road that are slowly disappearing. Portage la Prairie, down. Niverville, down. Except Niverville's got another one.
Oh?
Niverville's, like, there's a, there's, like, an Ethiopian family or whatever that, like, roasts their own beans and stuff. And I got hit up that one, but it doesn't have convenient truck parking. I had to pull some real, like, dick maneuvers just to, like, find a parking spot to, like, get in there and try it. And they are a nice group of people running a small business. So I will say coffee... it was great. It was good. It did the job. It woke me up.
Teff is gluten free.
Oh, okay.
So you can have injera.
Yeah.
So
in theory, like, as long as it's not, like,
we should get Ethiopian
made food. In a you know, like, where this other potentially gluten containing. Yeah, I would love that.
I feel like there was something else and then I lost it.
Love languages was going to carry us through longer. I didn't realize you hadn't even, like, looked at it at all. I'm not shaming you about that. I just, like, I thought that, like, when you brought it up, I thought it was something you were familiar with.
I mean, yeah, like, I looked at it before, but not in a while and not in much detail.
Maybe we can come back to it in the future.
Yeah. So today was daylight savings, where we fell back an hour, didn't realize it, looked at the microwave, said it was 8 a.m., panicked because I had to work today. But I got a good chuckle when I called somebody at 9 o'clock and told them I'd be there at 9:30. And he's like, well, it's already 10 o'clock. And I was like, no, it's 9 o'clock. It's daylight savings time. They got a real kick out of that.
Did you say, you fucking idiot?
I was going to make like a dementia joke. That would be more appropriate of the situation. Yeah, and then I showed up there and he's like, thanks for telling me. Him and his wife didn't remember. But then I had the opposite situation where this one was like, I turned back all my clocks before I went to bed. And another lady told me that she would call her daughter on daylight savings and then her daughter would be like, Mom, I know, like I'm an adult now. You don't need to call me. So then she stopped calling her and she's like, just kept forgetting. Now that her mom didn't phone her anymore, even though she was an adult and giving her sass.
I have no daylight savings stories. Other than I made a point of changing the time in the car. So,
I did that in the Cobalt as well.
Well, look at us, eh?
Yeah.
We're on the ball here. We don't need anybody calling us, reminding us.
My mom's definitely reminded me in the past, but I feel like I've usually seen more about it. It really seemed to sneak up this year. I had no idea. I wasn't paying attention to that stupid thing.
Oh, here we go. Here's something.
Okay.
So I was feeling sick on Friday, and I ended up taking the day off work because I was sick. And normally, like a Friday would be a day that Luella's going to your mom's anyways. She, go there after school. So it just stayed that way so that I could just have the day to rest and do nothing, which like it's been, even when I went out to the cabin and had that time by myself, I still like kept myself pretty busy, you know, like I still
MasterChef.
It was relaxing, but I did big cooking projects. I like spent a lot of time outside going for walks and stuff like that. But I'm like, I'm going to spend most of my day in bed. I'm going to watch movies. I'm just going to really, really have a lazy day, which took like, I had to persuade myself to not do busybody shit throughout the day. And, you know, there was a couple times where I was tempted to do things and was just like, no, just like, don't do anything. So I watched a couple movies. I started the day. I watched, there's like a new Velvet Underground documentary by Todd Haynes. That was good. And then later I was like, I've never seen the movie Good Will Hunting. So I decided to finally watch that. Good Will Hunting. I said it weird because it's Will. but before I knew his name was Will Hunting, I think that was always how it was in my mind. It was like, which I guess it's supposed to be sort of the double meaning or whatever. But anyways, did you watch that when it came out?
I've seen it. I don't know if I watched it when it came out.
Did it mean anything to you?
No.
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 Ben and Matt weren't like a thing to you?
No.
No. Now are they at all? What do you think about those guys?
I don't have really any opinion on them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they're cute?
I didn't mind the Bourne movies, like as far as like a action movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the pictures of Ben Affleck carrying like 72 Dunkin' Donuts drinks and like that is like funny, but they really are not, nor have they ever been on my radar.
No.
No.
I just know for like some people, you know, they were like, they were a real thing. Like people had a big crush on those two.
No, I never had a crush on either of them.
I feel like I have not seen a ton of Matt Damon movies and I never really got the Matt Damon thing, you know, like he,
I like The Martian.
Yeah. Even that I didn't love. It was like fine. I thought, but it was like, yeah. I don't know. He never really did it for me much as an actor, but I thought it was a decent movie. Like, I probably would have liked it if I saw it when it came out.
Yeah. I don't remember a whole ton about it.
I always forget, like, that it's a Gus Van Sant movie, like, that he directed it. and like and the Elliott Smith of it. I remember the Oscars, like when that was nominated and they won the like best screenplay and stuff, because I remember Elliott Smith performing on the Oscars and stuff and all that stuff that surrounded it. But I never saw the movie, and it never really interested me too much. But
so what made you watch it?
Because I've had people tell, you know, like people talk about it, like it's, you know, like it's a really good movie. And it's yeah, I remember Will actually saying to me one time when he found out I hadn't seen it, he's like, that's crazy. He's like, if anybody would love that movie, it's you.
Love it. Interesting.
And I was like, yeah, it's like a solid B, you know, like I was like, it's fine. Like I didn't hate it, but it's like, didn't knock my socks off. But yeah, I was, more than anything, I was curious on your take on Ben and Matt. But yeah, they weren't a thing for you.
No.
You were more into the ass kickers.
I love myself an ass kicker.
Statham. How would you stand on Statham these days?
Not as hot to trot.
He's also just like...
I also haven't seen him in ages and anything, but like, I love martial arts.
Is he part of the, like the Fast franchise now?
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Last thing I remember seeing him in was Spy.
I saw that.
Yeah, we watched it together. And he was like actually pretty funny.
But
it was
like every movie.
It was a comedy, though. It was like Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
Rose Byrne. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the last thing. He's definitely higher than Ben and Matt.
The Transporter was like the big series that you liked.
I was really into The Transporter when it came out.
And he was in Crank, right? But you never saw those?
Yeah, I never saw that, though.
That I think I did see. Or I saw Crank 2. Maybe I saw both of them. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, as far as a martial arts movie, for me, like, nothing beats Ong Bak. The Thai ones?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Those moves... That agility.
But that you were more into like the, but I mean, as far as a horn dog thing,
yeah, that's would have been Statham. But if you haven't seen Ong Bak,
which I don't know if I have.
What?
I can't remember. Maybe early in our relationship, we watched it.
Sure, yeah, I got it on DVD. I saw it twice in theaters the same day.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, I tried. You know what? Something you brought up a while back when we were at the cabin was like the three desert island movies.
Uh-huh.
And I still haven't like settled on what they would be. But I think I have two for sure. And I don't know what the third would be. But one would be Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah, that's your...
It's like just, yeah, it's a movie I've seen a million times and I could watch a million times. And like, plus it's like... It's like a, you know, stranded on the sea kind of movie too. So, and then I was thinking I'd pick Boogie Nights.
So you have something to whack off to?
It's because it covers a lot of ground. Because it's like, it's a long movie. It's like epic, you know, there's just so much to it. It's a great movie. So it's like, you know, it's like a quality thing. There's a lot to unpack. Every time I watch it, there's probably something new I'd find. But then, yeah, it also like has like, some like hot scenes and stuff too, which like I'm sure if you're alone on a desert island, you'd probably want a little bit of that.
Yeah, I mean, when I was young, I think 10 maybe, and it's one of our weekends with my dad, and he rented that as a movie for us to watch without like paying attention to it, and then partway through he's like, oh my god, and it shuts it off. Of course, my sister and I finished it the next day when he wasn't around.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't know what number three would be. Do you have
yours? I don't know. It's just so hard because it's like there's some that are you can watch over and over and over and they're mindless. But then how much depth do you want?
Yeah, you got to kind of think of whatever everything you'd want.
Yeah, and that's very, very difficult.
Yeah, I considered like There Will Be Blood too, but I'm like, well, do I want to do two like Paul Thomas Anderson movies, and that was a little darker too. Boogie Nights gets pretty dark, but I'm like, I probably would want something like long and like that has, you know, like, yeah, the temptation is to be like, oh, like pick some movie that I could just watch over and over and over again, but then you're like, sometimes those don't have a lot of substance and you're just like, if you were really alone.
I think one for sure would be Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I could. That would really probably perk me up.
Brighten your spirit.
Get me up dancing along and singing. And yeah, I think that would be one.
Yeah, I think going for like a straight up comedy would be a bad call. Because like after a while, you'd just be like, this isn't funny anymore. Like, yeah. I can't do this anymore, you know? So, you know, some laughs are probably essential, but like you need the laughs to come with a little bit of substance.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I really like Lost in Translation. I've loved it since I saw it. That would maybe be a pick for me. Duke.
Oh, we told you.
Our old man Duke here has been a real pain in the butt in the mornings lately. Yep. He's making a lot of noise in the night and waking us up. He's been getting the locked in the bathroom treatment. Risa wakes up and needs more sleep and says, no.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what's gotten into him. He was like not really that bad for that for a while.
I also don't know what time it is that he's been doing that because I won't look. I just don't want to know, you know? So it could be like a time when you're up and he's used to that because he doesn't really do that when you're working.
Yeah.
He gets up and then, you know, his routine is fine. But when you're not getting up for work, he's a little unsettled about what's going on.
Well, should we wrap it up?
I think so. I'm getting pretty tired.
Another shorty. Yeah.
But we did it. We're doing it. We're sticking to it.
Yeah.
I think that we should start really actually thinking about a game plan as far as some guests.
For sure. We'll do that. And we'll come loaded with some topics. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. I don't know. The microphone is...
$500.
Sure. Put it back up to $500. It's very arbitrary.
Have a good night. Keep fit and have fun.
There you go. Bye-bye.
Bye.